Well, once again, I thank Pastor Josh for inviting me to preach for 2 weeks. It's in God's providence that I'm here, and appreciate his timing. It's one of those Sundays where you have to weigh grief in the gospel, and the grief is really heavy. I can feel it. But folks, let me tell you, the gospel is greater. The gospel can overcome grief, and we can survive in the midst of the whole thing. So in the atmosphere today, I want to preach a message on eternal security. One of the prominent theologians of the last century, his name was Karl Barth, and he's a theologian that we would probably disagree with on a lot of things that he said. He was a German and Swiss theologian and made one trip to the United States in the 1960s. Only one trip. And he had written thousands and thousands of pages of theological explanations. And he was asked, when he came to the United States, what's the one theological truth that really is the most important truth of all? Of all the thousands and thousands of words you wrote. And his answer was, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So that's the greatest theological truth of all. So let me this morning show you from the scriptures that that truth, that Jesus loves you and I, lasts for all of eternity. The great doctrine of eternal security. The theme of my message today is that when Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, God keeps your saved soul safe and secure now and for all of eternity. Now I need an amen on that one. Okay, eternal security, we do not believe you can lose your salvation. We believe that if you're truly saved, you are saved for keeps. For keeps. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. My text is from verses 1 through 9, focusing really on verse 5 and the surrounding verses there explaining it. But if you will stand, I'd like to read to you this passage. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia, in Cappadocia, and Asia, and Bithynia, and Newton, and Kophax, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected. I like the word also translated in some translations, kept, who are protected or kept by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we get to open up your scriptures and you get to speak to us from your word. You get to speak to us. Help us to listen as we hear the great message of the gospel another time. Thank you, Lord. We want to spend this time in praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Great passage of scripture before us. Our starting point is verse 5. Who are protected. Again, I like the word kept. by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. The word protected is a strong military word in the Greek. It's a powerful word that means to be shielded, to be guarded. It's in the present tense. It means right now, right now, we are kept, we are protected by the power of God himself. The all-powerful God, what this verb really means for us, is that we are guarded by the all-powerful God, assuring that we will arrive safely and securely in heaven. That is a 24-hour, seven-day-a-week protection from the moment of our salvation all the way through eternity. And folks, that is better than the extended warranty on your car. I mean, this is fantastic. We are protected by the power of God. That means that those who are truly saved cannot lose their salvation. Now, this doctrine of eternal security is rather personal to my family and I. My Grandpa Butler, Grandpa and Grandma Butler, they were the saints of our family. And in their history, way back almost probably 100 years ago, they were involved in a church that did not believe in this doctrine. And Grandpa did, and needless to say, they discouraged him from attending their church. And I grew up with that story. Grandpa got kicked out of a church because he believed in the doctrine of eternal security. So what did my grandpa do? He went and started another church, which became my home church. So Calvary Baptist Church Green is my home church. And one of the doctrines that our church believed, that my grandpa made sure that I believed and that I would preach, is when you are saved, when you are truly saved, God has you for all of eternity. You can't lose it because of the power of God. We are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. All we have to do is to simply believe. Simply believe. Our simple personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ secures us. That simple faith, there's no rituals we have to go through. We simply believe the truth of what Jesus has done for us. And we're protected by the power of God, ready to be revealed at the last time. Interesting phrase there. That looks forward to the full completion of our salvation. When God completes history and brings us into the new heaven and the new earth, we will be there because we're protected by the power of God. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Isn't that fantastic? Simply believe. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus said, John 10:28-29, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. That's double protection. In other words, we are saved forever. Once we accept Jesus Christ our Savior, we are saved forever. We're guarded for glory. We're kept for keeps. We're not kept by our own power. We're not kept by our own good works. We're not kept by being in church or the rituals we go through. We are kept by God's power. God, who is all-powerful, keeps us forever. That's the theme of our text. We are kept by the power of God because of our simple faith. Now, let's see how that all works out. Let me show you a little bit about how dynamic this text is. The reason we're kept begins, first of all, point one, is we are secure, we are kept because a triune God has done for us. Verses 2 and 3. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's the theological foundation for our security. The Trinity is involved in our salvation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, he chooses us. Now, I don't really fully understand the doctrine of election. Anybody here do? Raise your hand. I was at an ordination one time. It was a youth pastor in Colfax, and they got talking about this great question. How does election work? I remember one of the pastors says, you know, they haven't settled that thing in all of time. We're not going to settle it today. I can't figure it out, but God knows. God knows the ins and outs of who we are and how he chooses. I have no clue how that works, but I trust that God chose us. So God the Father is involved. Last week we looked, you know, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, we saw that God is involved in this before we're even born. In fact, God knows about us before we're even conceived. God knows. So that's God the Father. God the Son, Jesus, well, he sprinkles us with his blood. That's a reference to his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. When Christ went to the cross, what did he do for us on the cross? He shed his blood. He paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. And when we're saved, we are sprinkled by his blood. His blood cleanses us from all sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's taken care of on the cross. And then he also, through his resurrection from the dead, he had victory over sin and over death and the devil when he rose again from the dead. God raised him back to life on the third day. God accepted his sacrifice. That was God's amen to Christ. It is finished. His resurrection from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, he can give us brand new life. He can secure us. So Jesus Christ is involved. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, we see the two put together. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions, that's the cross, and was raised because of our justification. That's the empty tomb. That's what Jesus has done. So God the Father chose us. Jesus saves us through his shed blood and the resurrection, and the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. The Holy Spirit is the notary who seals us, who sets us apart, who confirms our salvation, causes us to stand before a God holy and righteous. The Holy Spirit then lives within us. So the Trinity, the triune God, is involved in our salvation and securing our salvation. So all of that, God's plan, Jesus' payment for our sin, his resurrection, Holy Spirit's application, causes us to be born again. That's a familiar phrase, John chapter 3. Nicodemus, story, born again. That phrase is found two times in John chapter 3. It's found two times in this chapter, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. For you have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable. We're born again. We're born from above. We're born to be brand new. We're saved. We become a Christian. We are redeemed from sin and given life eternal, abundant, forever. At a specific point in our life, we're transferred from being dead in our trespasses and sins to being alive in Christ. At a point in our life, we who have been suffering under the dominion of Satan now are free to live in the kingdom of God's beloved Son. We're saved. We're regenerated. We're transformed. We're given new life. Born once physically. Born twice spiritually. Born once, we have physical life on earth. Born twice, we have abundant life on earth and eternal life forever. Has there been a point in your life when you were born again? Do you remember that? Remember where you were? Remember who you were with? Remember making that decision? Remember praying that prayer? I trust at some point in your life you've had that moment where you were born again, where you understand what Jesus has done for you. And when you truly understand that, then you can rejoice that we are saved forever. We are secure in the hands of God. We're born again to a living hope. In Christ, there's always hope. Hope never fades. Hope is alive here and now. Hope will be fulfilled at our salvation, sanctification, and someday hope will be fulfilled in our glorification in heaven. That may be sooner than later. You never know. And that hope is realized because of grace and mercy in our text. Verse 2 talks about grace. Verse 3 talks about mercy. Grace is God giving us blessings that we don't deserve, like forgiveness, like answers to prayer, like meaning in the Bible, like the fellowship of the church, like heaven. That's all because of grace. Mercy is God withholds curses that we do deserve, like hell, like suffering for our sins, like separation from God. God's mercy, he withholds that. We deserve it, but he gives us grace, blessings we don't deserve, and none of us deserve it. I don't know about you, but my selfishness and my stupidity and my sin don't give me any hope for me. I mess up way too much. But God comes along and rescues me from me, rescues you from you, rescues us from the world that we live in. And believe me, if you're listening to the news, even this morning, this is a messed up world. And if you're looking for hope in your own goodness, you're not going to find it. If you're looking for hope in what the government can do for you, you're not going to find it. But if you look for hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find it for eternity. And you're going to have a peace that passes all understanding, peace in the fullest measure. And then John 3:16 becomes real. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In this world, there is no hope. Someone has said, other men see only a hopeless end, but the Christian rejoices in an endless hope. Isn't that good? We are kept. We are protected. Another great proof of that is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Wow. Well, I'm only at point one. Let's go to point two. Point two is we are secure for heaven. Let's talk about that. Verse four. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Heaven is not an insurance policy that covers a loss. It's an inheritance, which is a gift that gives life forever. It's a free gift. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord, we are born again to a living home, and look what we get. We get this place that's imperishable. Heaven is imperishable. It is decay-proof and it is death-proof. In heaven, there is no rust, there's no inflation, there's no deflation that changes its value. Nothing will deteriorate in heaven. It's not like concrete. You know, there's two types of concrete, cracked and gonna crack. In heaven, it's imperishable. It is death-proof. It's also undefiled. It's sin-proof. There is no sin in heaven. We'll live in perfect conditions. We'll be living a pure life. There's no tarnish. There's no stain of sin in heaven at all. It's undefiled. Can you imagine living in a world with no sin? I can't. In heaven, there is no sin. It's perfect. It's undefiled. It's imperishable. It will not fade away. It is time-proof. There will be no change in value for all of eternity. There will be glory and there will be beauty. In all of eternity, we will never lose its joy. We will never experience disappointment. We will never be bored. We'll have only eternal delight. Its glory and its pleasure will sustain us for all of eternity. It will not fade away. And then it's reserved in heaven for you and me. It's error-proof, it's devil-proof, it's a guaranteed reservation. This reservation cannot be changed, lost, or stolen, or taken from you by your own mismanagement, and there's no lawyers involved at all. Isn't that great? No government officials either. Reserved in heaven for you. Only God can provide us something imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven. Only God can provide that, and he has through Jesus. Simple faith in Jesus. Every once in a while, you try to think, okay, what's heaven like? Revelation 21 and 22 gives us a glimpse of what the new heaven and new earth is like. I'm sure there's similarities with heaven. What's heaven like? And it was interesting, one of the songs I heard this morning on the radio was "I Can Only Imagine." We try to imagine it, and we can maybe catch a little glimpse of it, but we won't come close at all to what it really is. It's that great. We are kept for heaven. We're kept to enjoy heaven. We're kept to live in heaven. The moment we leave this earth, and the moment we leave this earth, the day of our passing is the worst day of our physical life, but it's the greatest day of our eternal life. The two in one. Same day. Jude, verses 24 and 25. "Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time, now and forever." We're kept. In 1 John 5:13, "These things I have written to you," John writes, "who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." And the word "know" is not just knowledge, knowing facts, it's experience. You can know by experience you have eternal life. So this salvation that secures us for all of eternity has been provided for us by the triune God. It provides us heaven. And point three, it helps us in the meantime. It helps us through our various trials. Verses 6 through 9 talk about that. Let me just read verse 6. "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials." Why, folks, life is not perfect, is it? This is where the pastor says, what trials did you experience this week? we live by faith and not by sight. We live in this natural world, and this natural world is really real. We have burdens and sorrows and pains. Many times it's hard to see by faith into the supernatural world because the various trials weigh on us heavily. It's hard to see heaven sometimes because life on earth is so difficult. What trials have you faced this week? Death of a loved one, friend. The weather. Maybe you got some health issues. Maybe you got a doctor's appointment coming up that you're not looking forward to. Maybe there's some financial stuff going on in your life. Maybe there's a relationship that's being fractured. I'm not sure what you're going through. I'm sure everyone in this room is going through something. Life is not perfect. And sometimes we wonder, where is God? He's always there, close as a mention of his name. He's always there guiding and directing us through the whole thing. We have so many Bible promises about that. But during our various trials, during the issues that we go in life, folks, we are secure. We are kept through all of that. We don't lose our salvation. We don't lose our relationship with God. In fact, he's probably closer during those times. Psalm 121, verse 7, "The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul." Isaiah 26, verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you and we trust him. He gives us a peace that passes all understanding. And that's Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. All that is good news, isn't it? We are kept. We are protected for all of eternity. So the doctrine of eternal security, when you are truly saved, when you're born again, you cannot lose your salvation because God keeps your saved soul safe and secure now and for all of eternity. Last week, we sang the song. Let me give you the words. We sang this song together. Jackie sang it. How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets. To look upon the one who bled to save me and to walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. Isn't that great? That's real, folks. That's really real. Are you saved? Has there been a point in your life where you made a decision for Christ? If not, today's the day. All you have to do is admit that you're a sinner. And that shouldn't be too hard. We mess up very easily. Just simply admit that you fail. You know, sin is missing the mark. God is perfect. Anything we do less than perfect is sin. We just need to admit that we're a sinner. We need a Savior. And then we simply need to believe that Jesus is the Savior. We need to believe what Jesus did on the cross was to take away our sins and forgive us of our sins, and his grave is empty to give us his brand new life. We just need to believe that. Make that real in our life. Make Jesus the center person of our life. Commit ourselves to him. Just simply believe in him. And then confess him as Lord. That means tell somebody. Make a public declaration of your faith. Of those three things, letter B is what saves you. Letter A prepares you for salvation, and letter C displays your salvation, but your salvation is simply by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure, don't leave here without Jesus. Make sure that you trust Jesus as your Savior, that he's taken away your sin. He's cleansed you from all unrighteousness. He's replaced your sin with his righteousness. And when God the Father looks at you through the blood of Jesus, he sees a saint. He sees a saint. And when we fall short of his glory, when we sin, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. After John 3:16, that's the next greatest verse of all, 1 John 1:9. We're not perfect. We fall short of his glory so much. But if we simply confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us because of the cross and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's salvation. And we are saved. He can take care of us through life right now, the ups and downs of life. And when this life is over, heaven, instantly, heaven. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much that the gospel is so simple. And the gospel is good news. And the gospel simply tells us the most important truths we need to know in this life. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves us. Jesus loves each person that's in this room. The Bible is our guide to direct us to you, to show us how to live for you. And we have simple faith in Jesus as our Savior. We can have abundant life. Life can make sense. There's meaning and purpose in life. There's strength as we go through the trials and tribulations of life. There's hope in the midst of the death that surrounds us in life. And then we have heaven. We have eternal life in your presence. Lord, we look forward to that. We look forward to all those reunions. We look forward to being in your presence forever, face to face with the one who loved us so much. We look forward to that. Thank you for that hope, those promises, that reality. Thank you for the opportunity we've had to worship you and to serve you today. May we leave here with your peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.